Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Secret Museum of the Air, a weekly broadcast of the world's music, historic landmarks from the dawn of recording through the golden age of the gramophone. Join us for the next hour as your host, Citizen Kafka, visits with curator Pat Conti in the Secret Museum.
Sail, Mr. Christian.
Aye, aye, sir. Hands to stations for leaving harbour.
Aye, aye, sir. All hands to stations for leaving harbour.
All hands to stations.
Wait a second to pound it is,
and then stop for laughing.
3 hours is a long while going. God have you in his holy keeping.
Heave it!
Heave it,
sir! Ready for sea, sir.
Set topsails and headsails. Starboard tack.
Set topsails and headsails. Gallant, sheet ho! Set royal!
The ship's steady as she goes.
Greg, who are you? Where are you from?
My father king, high chief. My uncle high priest in islands. West, south, far away. Ship come by island. I take canoe. I sail. I swim. I climb rope. I hide. Ship take me far. Many years. See all world.
Odd. Many's the Christian wishes he was a dark man on a cannibal isle.
Hey, Pahi, Pahai, Tero, Tua. Oh, yeah, Ipahi.
Captain Cook, they were not dangerous. However, the natives of the Sandwich Islands seemed friendly enough, but without warning, they turned on Captain Cook and killed him. We shall take all due military precautions. In the event we find ourselves welcome, you will discover that these savages have absolutely no conception of ordinary morality. And you will, no doubt, take full advantage of their ignorance. It is a matter of supernatural indifference to me whether you contaminate the natives or the natives contaminate you. I have but one concern. Our mission.
Hey, look! It's a shell! I've seen one like it before on someone's back wall. A conch, he called it. He used to blow it and then his mum would come. He blew from down here.
Good evening, Captain Pat.
Yeah, good evening. We've opened with the sound of, well, many sounds, including the creaking of the keel there and some blues to start the show. That's Blue Whales.
That was the last thing you heard.
And, well, more properly, the sound of the conch in various settings, mostly Hollywood settings, in a bit of irony. No Hollywood music.
Well, not after what we just heard, anyway.
That's right.
Excerpts from various movies of exploration and the sea.
Yes, on our way to the Pacific round the Cape of Storms, we'll be stopping off on various islands tonight, and a program dedicated to recordings in the non-commercial vein during the 78 era up into the 1950s.
But non-commercial exclusively for tonight.
That's right.
Oh boy. Where are we going?
Well, we'll first start with a recording from the 1940s, and actually comes to us courtesy of the New Zealand Broadcasting Company. This is a war song, as was recorded in Apia in Samoa. And actually, as of this date, no copy of this record exists any longer. It was lost over the years, but through the foresight of a collector many years ago, it was preserved on tape. And if you think back to the Pacific program that we did some months ago or even a year ago, We did play a very similar war song from Samoa that was recorded some 30 years before on a cylinder. But here we have the transcription disc from the 1940s.
And the sound is still good, even though it's already like third
generation. The sound on many of these will be good to excellent. There are some horrible ones, but we'll point them out as we get there.
As if we have to.
Right. From there we go to Savaii. This is, again, part of the Samoan group. And a Mau song. The Mau, this is actually a song about a rebellion that took place in 1928. And here it's being sung about, already has moved into folklore only 12 years later. This one is a 12-inch disc that comes from the Western Samoa Broadcasting Company. And the singer is actually identified as Iolu Poteo Suni. And his village is Neafu, or Neiafu village, in Western Samoa, for our first venture tonight.
Yeah.
Well, the question that comes to mind immediately for me is, from your understanding of the transcriptions of the music of the islands from earlier parts of history, how traditional is this music? I mean, it sounds awfully Western.
Well, the problem is the paucity of Samoan records. Most records that are available outside of the tourist type of things are usually Pentecostal gospel choirs.
Which we know.
Yeah, and of course they are applying a lot of the native tastes to
and style,
the,
but yeah. Still you don't know.
Right. In this case, it's definitely 20th century stylistic differences are emerging. That's if you remember the cylinder from a previous mm-hmm. program, you hear a much more sparse sound and a less rich sound. But of course, we can't be sure of how to attribute that.
But I mean the chord structure, the way the songs are sung.
I would say that this is definitely a modern tinge to the music. Someone tuning in late just now could swear up and down that they heard a Zulu trade union choir in the way the choral pieces, the choral parts are actually structured. So I'd say it's pretty much modern music, but still very traditional.
So I mean,
and very topical in this case.
Now, there were people who traveled through that area who were interested enough in the music to have at least transcribed or written about the music and how it sounded.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
outside missionaries, there were journalists who made their way. And
this goes back 300 years now.
Yeah. Some of the early anthropologists were actually in search of spoken word as well as music, like Sir James Frazier.
So from their writing, what do they write about the traditional chanted music of time?
Well, very little of it in Samoa has really been examined.
Ever. So yeah. we'll never know.
Well, I wouldn't say we'll never know. There are people like Richard Moyle and, of course, Alice Moyle before him, who are really dedicated with an extremely fine-tuned set of values in terms of their research. And they are bringing out a lot of books. One recent book just appeared on Tongan music. We're starting to get a better picture of music in the Pacific.
All right, thank you.
Speaking of anthropologists and the like, we couldn't do a program about the Pacific without mentioning A.P. Elkin. He brought us not only the finest written works on the Aboriginal people of Melanesia and, of course, Australia, but also brought us some fantastic recordings, and from a technical aspect, some of the weirdest formats possible. 16-inch and 12-inch discs that start from the inside, that play at a slow speed, but use the coarse groove. And those have to be among the most unusual formats ever made. We'll hear one of those records. These are EMI transcriptions that Professor Elkin made here, in this case at Sari, or Wabe, made in 1956. This is singing at a house building. And did I mention Papua New Guinea? That's where we're going. And this is an extended look at some of the songs that Professor Elkin transcribed on his portable record cutter.
Psycho disc cutter.
Yeah. So singing at a house building, and we'll hear the voice of Professor Elkin introduce it much better than I can.
Singing as the thatching grass is brought in for a new house and as the thatching is to begin. Sari, 1956.
Yeah.
That is a very distinctive sound. We've heard a lot of records from the Pacific before, and there's something about these.
Well, these are the hardcore. They obviously have no commercial value whatsoever, and were not available commercially at all. We should mention once again and stress that these are the homemade transcription discs made on location by the particular collector in
academician for the most part, rather
usually,
than just collector.
Yes, and in Elkin's case, an academician of the first order.
These were hot stylus cuttings, right?
Yes, when you hear him slate his own intros, the brief spoken passage before the pieces, you'll notice on your receivers that there is some sort of jump or interference. And that's because Professor Elkin actually would stop the recording machine with a very hard break, leaving the needle in the groove as he's cutting. And this is a hot wired needle. Two little wires off the cutting head actually send heat into that needle to melt the groove in, as it's cutting. And when he starts it up again, you hear the jump of the already cooled surface and back to cutting again. So we thought we'd leave that in rather than process that out.
No, minimal processing here.
We're going to stay in Papua New Guinea for a number of reasons. Last time when we did the first Pacific program, we were lamenting the fact that we didn't have more of that material. So we're remedying that right now. We'll hear a working song, much like a walking song, from the highlands. This recorded at a school in Kundiawa. This comes from the courtesy of the University of Sydney. These transcriptions, also EMI discs, inside start. Very strange, and a wonderful glimpse at village life here. We'll hear the antiphonal singing that is typical of the highlands. And also something that's not typical on record in any form is a short grammar lesson, which you will hear at one of the schools of Waigachi children on Melville and Bathurst Island. This is in north of the Northern Territories in Australia and part of their series of Northern Territory recordings made in 1953. Again, these are still the coarse groove transcription discs made in the field. And after that, for the last in the set, is a marching song by those children. So some school kids on the Secret Museum working it out first with a piece called Wero, a work song sung at their school in Kundiawa.
Oh, Percival Aboriginal School.
Chorus reading for rhythm in sentence patterns.
All right, now watch me, after me. A ball game.
A ball game.
A ball game.
A ball game.
The girls play.
The girls play.
With the big ball.
With the big ball.
With.
With.
The girls play.
The girls play.
No, the girls play.
The girls play.
The girls play.
The girls play.
With the big ball.
With the big ball.
Jorna throws the ball.
Jorna throws the ball.
To Nanala.
To Nanala.
Then. Nanala throws the ball.
Nanala throws the ball.
Then.
Nanala throws the ball.
Nanala throws the ball. The little girls.
The little girls.
The little girls.
The little girls.
Run and jump.
Run and jump.
To get it.
To get it.
To get it.
To get it.
Betty gets the ball.
Betty gets the ball.
And throws it.
And throws it.
To Jorna.
To Jorna.
Marching song.
Excellent, very excellent material.
For many reasons, but I think we said all that already.
Yeah, well, sometimes,
if I know you.
If we haven't said it, we've said it. We like that a lot. I like that very much. We are traveling around the Pacific Rim with Pat Conti, the curator of the Secret Museum of the Air, and myself, Citizen Kafka. What am I today, the bosun?
I guess so. Where's your whistle? Oh, boy, You just hey. Wreaked havoc on the...
on everything.
On the ribbon there. You even drove the clock crazy. But we're going to turn that clock back now.
About 90 years.
Finishes yapping. To 1907, we're moving to Truk Island, which is an important island during the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
But more important, I believe, in 1907, when a man named Augustin Kramer made an expedition there and... one of the highest orders of expeditions in terms of music. He was a Navy physician and brought a cylinder machine to the island and recorded what we'll be hearing, a love song, oddly enough, to a married woman, as the text reads. And I believe he gives the text first in the language of the island, Vela, and then I believe you'll hear it in German afterwards on the cylinder. The love song sung by Ukokia in the Vela language, and the name of the piece is Angi. From there we go back to Melanesia. We're staying in 1907, and we're going to a place, believe it or not, called Gazelle Half Island in New Britain. What a half island is, I could never explain to you. If you're checking on your atlas and you don't have a 1907 atlas, you might have a tough time finding Gazelle Half Island. It's part of a small group of islands that are west of New Mecklenburg. So if you want to zero in on that, it's known now today as New Ireland. And we'll hear a woman's dance song by a woman named Kuratunga, who is a woman from the village of Kabatero. And after that, we'll hear a piece from the Benuni people in the Nasioi language of the Solomon Islands. This is recorded at a village named Teliai in the Coromans land of near Bougainville. It was recorded by another German pioneer in recording, Ernst Fritzi, in 1911. So three early cylinders from the Pacific Ocean and some of the rarest glimpses of this music you'll ever have, courtesy of the Secret Museum.
So take out your spyglass and listen in.
Okay.
Now we're hearing what sounds like a much more ancient style of music. Certainly they're not equivalent. The other was core pieces from different parts.
Part of that stark sound, especially in the last piece where you just heard the solo singer, there's a problem with recording cylinders and using the brass horn with sibilance. But also, and technicians can tell you this when they spent time remastering Caruso records, which were recorded similarly, the horn, the brass itself, adds some kind of resonance to the voice, which is at times annoying, in the case of Caruso, certainly, where it would actually alter the pitch at times. But here, I think it's sort of a blessing. It almost sounds as if it's a harmonic vocal in that last piece. And it's just a wonderful sound.
Just to take into account the fact that the technology was not clear or transparent by any means, that the recording technique itself really added quite a lot of color right through, really, through electrical recording into
right.
the 20s.
That's especially so in this era that we were just in.
Where
recordings
they had gotten...
are strictly a mechanical operation and have nothing to do with electronics.
Or even electrics.
Yeah. No electricity, even. They were driven by clockwork and weights.
Right. We heard our springs. We heard three cylinders recorded, two from 1907 and one from 1911. So we're talking about 80 years ago in the Pacific Isles. And yes. Where are we off to?
Well, from the Solomons, we're jumping back to Tahiti. We haven't spent any time there, as opposed to our other program. So we're kind of balancing the scales with this in our last set. And we'll hear an EMI acetate, and this is in rather sorry condition, and has absolutely no information attached to it, except that there was a penciled remark on the sleeve, the plain paper sleeve, that it was Maori chanting. It actually is a Tahitian group in the 1940s, which will sing a chant, a male and female vocal duet first, and then we'll hear a small choral piece with the guitar in Tahitian style, and I would say pre-tourist attraction kind of recording.
Pre-pop.
Right. From there, and for the final cut in this set, and indeed the program, we'll hear the Himine Aue singers. And the piece is Ha Amri Himine. Himine is a type of song, and it also applies to the singers as Himine singers. And if you're guessing that it's something to do with hymns, you're right. You'll hear a very stylized and beautiful chant, and not unlike church chanting. This is a hi-fi recording done under pretty exacting conditions in the 1950s with fine microphones and tape recorders. And this man's work appeared on 78s originally. He set up shop in Papeete, making some fine recordings, and they appeared on 78s, EPs, and LPs during that entire hi-fi era. His name is Gaston Gilbert, and made many fine location recordings, and later on in the 1960s went on to provide some of the authentic native music that was used in Mutiny in the Bounty, which we heard. So we're going full circle right back to the beginning of the show, and it was a long way, but we think worth it. A beautiful, beautiful piece called Ha Amri. So some music from Tahiti. Yeah.
Strange set of music, varying so much.
The contrast was intentional.
I'm sure.
The Jimene music is something that we really don't get enough of. And this has to be one of the first times it was available to American ears, or actually the rest of the world.
When was that recording made, the last one?
Probably in the mid-50s, I'd say, 1955 or so. This is before he really made his name in Hollywood. And actually, a lot of the music in Mutiny on the Bounty that he provided with his location recordings was really fine music. And there were offshoots to the soundtrack of not only an anthology of his recordings, but also some more in-depth looks at some of the groups. I think there were three or four albums.
Really?
Kind of a little craze, but not so much of that chanting. The chanting is rarely heard. The first time I heard it was, I believe, one of those Nonesuch records, which featured...
You're talking about the solo chanting?
That last...
Or the choral chanting,
The last piece of choral music. The Nonesuch had some remarkable music. A much more powerful orchestra, something like the music that the Pacific Mariner recorded in his programs. David Fanshawe was an English composer who spent about 5 years in the Pacific and really did a thorough investigation of the music. His aim was to take a lot of the traditional music and orchestrate it into a piece. I don't know how successful he was, but he did record some fantastic field recordings.
Well, thank you, Pat. You've done it again.
And that's it. There's more to come. It might tire us, might beat us down. We might take a lot of flack for it, but there's more coming.
Pat Conte, the curator of the Secret Museum, assembling a show from the Pacific Rim. I'm Citizen Kafka, and we're going to go... Goodbye.
We're going to say a brief goodbye from the Northern Territory now, and we'll see you next week.
And so the gate swings shut after another visit to the Secret Museum comes to a close. We hope you have enjoyed this brief journey spanning the first half century of recorded sounds across the earth. Until next time, I'm Buddy Fortune for the Secret Museum of the Air.
This is Citizen Kafka. The Secret Museum of the Air is funded in part by a grant from the Shira Kober Zeller Foundation in loving memory of Arthur and Margaret Kober. For more information about the Secret Museum of the Air, write Secret Museum, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202, 3075. That's Secret Museum of the Air, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202, 3075. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again here at the Secret Museum of the Air. This is Citizen Kafka with just a few minutes left to the show, and I thought we'd try something a little bit different. A montage, but this time a real montage. So get ready for The Sound of the World from the Secret Museum of the Air.
Thank you. arriba, y arriba, y arriba, y arriba. Yo no soy marinero, soy capitán.